When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, we welcome you to hour number three, our third and final. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One more hour to go on this Thursday morning. No NBA postseason action tonight. A night off from the play-in tournament before a doubleheader of games tomorrow on a Friday. In Memphis, it's the Grizzlies and the Mavs. In Atlanta, it's the Hawks and the Heat battling it out to become the eighth seed in their respective conference playoffs. The NHL season, regular season finale on this Thursday. But as of yesterday on the ice, the Stanley Cup playoffs are officially set. All 16 teams have punched that ticket. We'll talk with Tom Vecchio about that a little bit later on. So, Donnie, no NBA action today.
Yeah.
NHL regular season, but everything has been figured it out. You know what that means? Our 10-game slate around the Major League Baseball Thursday schedule, as I try to get my words straight here, we're going to preview each and every one with you, one of the hosts of Pro Baseball Today, in this third and final hour.
Fantastic. And again, understanding what April baseball is, techniques change as well as pitching matchups and batting matchups. But also, finally, this weekend, at least in the Northeast, 80-degree temperatures. Could this be the last day that we have to struggle with those mid-50 temperatures here and all the way through can start to finally get into hitting weather? That's the key ingredient that we need. We're just missing a little bit of heat in the environment, so hopefully get that there.
Yes, we certainly do. Should be better weather here in the tri-state area starting today through the weekend, an early sign of spring. We'll talk all about MLB in just a little bit. All right, DRS, let's look at where things stand from the eyes of the people and see how they feel about the playoffs, because we're into the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, and the Stanley Cup postseason. One of the most exciting in all of sports starts on Saturday as well. NBA playoffs in full starting Saturday. Play-in tournament postseason action has already begun. Stanley Cup postseason starts on Saturday as well. So what is the most exciting postseason format that we have in the four major men's professional sports leagues in North America? Question to you and fade the public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, which league has the best playoffs? MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL, DRS, after a couple of days of asking some play-in tourney questions that didn't get a lot of public love, this one has more than 265 votes. And right now, the public is loving them, as is always king, the National Football League playoffs. More than 46% of the vote backing the NFL as the best postseason format that we have.
standing ovation for the voters this morning on our Fade the Public poll. Why do I say that? You take a look at some of the answers to the poll question here, which leads exactly down the path I thought it would. I was always understanding that the NFL is going to be king regardless of anything. You might not even like the playoff format in the NFL, but just NFL is going to draw people to click on that tab and say, I'm just going to vote the NFL because I love it. But the fact that the people rose to the occasion here, Ben, and went with the NHL at 38%, they are 1,000% correct, because if you don't even like the NHL, you can get down with the NHL playoffs. And I feel robbed here, being a Flyers fan lifetime. And when I say lifetime, that was maybe ended 7 or 8 years ago, and I didn't die. The Flyers died as a franchise because they're absolutely horrendous at this point. But there used to be nothing better for me, Ben. As a kid, like through my adolescence, through my teenage years, right into college in my early years into the workforce, where I would rush to get home and I was so excited to watch a Flyer playoff game, whether it be against the New Jersey Devils, the Montreal Canadiens, or Stanley Cup runs at that point against the hated Pittsburgh Penguins. I used to love that. So the people that voted NHL 38%, they got their head screwed on right. Major League Baseball, it is what it is, 8%, but the NBA, absolutely 1,000%. At 7.1 in dead last, should it be there? Yes. And I like the NBA playoffs. It's the worst product by far out of the four major sports on a night-to-night basis and a playoff basis. It's just the way it is. Kudos to the voters out there. They nailed this poll.
Yeah, listen, I always think the NFL is going to win these sorts of votes, and I do love the NFL playoffs. It is a one-game scenario. It is why we love football. Stanley Cup postseason, there is nothing like the anxiety and the intensity of a Stanley Cup playoff game. As you go deeper and deeper through all of the environment and excitement in trying to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup, it is sensational. I kind of like the expanded Major League Baseball postseason. It feels different as well. The atmosphere elevated. I do think it's the same in the NBA. But to your point, Donnie, 16 of the 30 clubs get in to the NBA playoffs, and now we have 20 of 30 get into the NBA postseason, and that postseason begins with the play-in tournament. I'm not sure it's necessary, and frankly, what we have seen here in recent years is those top seeds starting to dominate. That is certainly what we expect this time around. Boston and OKC already minus money favorites, minus 140 for the Celtics, minus 150 for the Thunder to win their respective conference crowns. It's almost like we are delaying the inevitable with four rounds of the NBA postseason once we get to the actual playoffs that start on Saturday. It is a much better form of basketball, in my opinion, because defense matters once again. Everybody, outside of injuries that creep up, will be available. There is no game or roster management once you reach the postseason. I do like the NBA playoffs. To me, I just like the NFL more than anything else, so that will always get my vote first and foremost.
Easy, simple. You explained it exactly correct here, because we're going in likability, right? The NFL, regardless of the product that they put out, you know, oh, these playoff games stink. Like, I don't know what saves the NBA, but I think you're onto something here where there's so many meaningless games in the NBA that even when I get excited for the playoffs, I still look at the play and be like, do we actually need this? Can't we just get to the good teams? And why does it feel like we're not going to get a good playoff matchup in the East for another 3.5 to 4 weeks by the time we get to the Eastern Conference Finals? Like, honestly, would the NBA be a better product? Because we're already wiping out the regular season as meaningless, no matter how way you paint it. But let's just say only 8 teams, 4 from each conference, made the NBA playoffs, and how exciting that would be, because you get the good product right away the minute they get there. We know it's never going to change. The money is there, the home gates, the play teams that make the playoffs. Hey, I got 2 home games or 3 in my building. That's good enough for me. We know it's never going to change, but you can't help to think of it. And also understand this. Can you imagine the NBA playoffs? Like, let's just say they did let in 20 teams per se, and it was a one-game single elimination as you go with home court advantage until the NBA Finals, where the championship game would take a week off and head to Vegas, and you could buy tickets and go to that. It would absolutely rocket up the list. But the playoffs are so long and so boring in some of these series, that's why they're coming in last place.
It is kind of crazy, DRS, that we have started the postseason this week in the middle of April. The first day of the NBA postseason in technicality was Tuesday with the play-in tournament on April 15th. But if you want to call it the playoffs on Saturday, April 19th, there's a chance we don't crown the NBA champion for another 2 months. 2 months until we get to the end of an NBA Finals if it gets close to seven. That's a very, very long time. I agree. By the way, best form of the postseason, professional or otherwise, of course, it'll always be the NCAA tournament for me.
Yeah, no, you can't argue with it because the hype is there. You live and die in the moment, and you see the big collapses, the big comebacks here. And it's not like, hey, man, what a great game between Duke-Houston. Let's do it again tomorrow, and then again, and then again, again, and again, and again. You get that instant gratification where, I don't know, maybe if they dropped it to three games. Can you imagine like the Detroit Pistons going into the Garden and stealing game number one, saying, oh, my goodness, now we're going back home. If we win this game, we knock the Knicks out. The NBA doesn't like that because they want the cream to rise, and I get that. It's just so long until we actually get to see the fruits of the labor. It's like, man, we've been waiting the entire season for the Celtics and the Cavaliers. We're still weeks out.
So no more playoff talk then. Major League Baseball on a Thursday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A 10-game slate on this Thursday around Major League Baseball. A couple of series from the midweek ending. A couple of weekend sets beginning early on this Thursday afternoon and evening. DRS, as we shared, Bronx South. That's where the Yankees head to today. Their first regular season game in their spring training home of George Steinbrenner Field. Of course, the temporary home ballpark for the Tampa Bay Rays. The Yankees completing a sweep in the regular Bronx, that being Yankee Stadium, this week against the Kansas City Royals. Now they head to Tampa to take on the Rays. Basically a pick 'em. Minus 112 in favor of the Rays. Minus 104 on the other side for the Yanks. Total of 9. Donnie, do you put any stock into the fact the Yankees are going to be in a very familiar setting now in a road game, but a regular season contest?
Oh, it does help. No, it does, because you're used to the sight lines. You're used to being there. Now, the interesting part is, like, you're not going to be in your home locker room, I guess, because that's the Tampa Bay Rays locker room. They're probably going to take the bigger side, which the Yankees always would have in spring training. So that's just a little bit different, but it is nice to be there. And also, sometimes you go to different ballparks around the league, and no matter if you played there 20, 30, or 40 times throughout your career, you still know the dimensions. Like, this is Yankee Stadium. Like, hey, you know the rules down here. And I wonder if I can hit the ball to this porch, because no, it's the same as your home ballpark. So I do think quickly there, Ben, it is an added advantage there at Yankee Stadium, being Yankee Stadium South and Steinbrenner Field. But if we do match up the game itself, you take a look at that placard right there, it's minus 112. Like, you are getting the slightly better pitcher in Taj Bradley. The reason I say that, we're too early in the season to determine. You want to look at pure pedigree over a lifetime of a career? Yeah, Taj Bradley's supposed to be the better pitcher. Now, Bradley comes in this game 3.71 ERA, 3.12 xFIP, which is really good. Warren comes in with 14 innings pitched with a 5.14 ERA, which is bad, but he has an acceptable xFIP of 3.70. Here's going to be the issue. Last year, Will Warren, 54 batters, which isn't a lot against lefties, he got tattooed. 58 batters against righties, he got beat up a bit. You take a look at the lefty batters today, which is where the focus will be, 30 batters that Will Warren has faced. A 240 ISO and a 341 weighted on base percentage. Also understand this, 77 degree temperatures at first pitch with a wind blowing out to right field. That's the short porch. That helps. You look in the lineup today, Brandon Lau, 176 ISO, 324 weighted on base percentage against right-handed pitching. That works out. Jonathan Aranda, 381 ISO, 552 weighted on base percentage. That works out. Meisner, 333 ISO, 512 weighted on base percentage. The lefties is where that look would be for me early on in this game. Now, if we take a look at the opposite side and say, well, what are the Yankees going to do? Typically, they do well against just about every pitcher. They have solid numbers. Taj Bradley's been electric against left-handed batters so far this season, but a little bit leaky against right-handed batters. So you look at that lineup all the way through. Bellinger struggled. Goldschmidt has struggled against right-handed batters, pitchers, and Cabrera. Everybody else is positive. So you're trying to match up. I do have a slightly better pitcher in Taj Bradley, but the better lineup might be for the New York Yankees. It's just a way you want to factor it in. I'm looking more from a player prop perspective from Tampa, saying early on in those first five innings, I think some of those left-handed batters can provide power, RBIs, and extra base hits.
The Rays have lost two in a row. They are now sub 500 at 8-10. The Rays, who were in a divisional duel this week against the Boston Red Sox, the Yankees, after the three-game sweep of Kansas City, top spot in the American League East at 11-7. And of course, Aaron Judge off to a monumental start this year, a 409 average, his seventh home run of the season, second most in MLB. How about that other New York team that was off to a great start this week in the Mets and then dropped their final two games in Minnesota against the Twins, including yesterday in extras. Back in Queens today, taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. And DRS, the Cards did not have a great outlook this year, despite obviously their prominence many years in MLB. St. Louis off to a pretty strong start, at least based on relative expectations, to begin 2025. Now, they are a road underdog today inside Citi Field against the Mets. Griffin Canning gets the start, minus 136. Andre Pallant on the other side for the Redbirds, total of 7.5. But that kind of odds distinction in the money line prices becoming a little bit tighter. What do you expect to see today between the Cardinals and the Mets?
We were on last week when the Philadelphia Phillies took on the St. Louis Cardinals, and, you know, it might raise some eyes. Like, hey, Nola's on the mound versus Pallante, and I was like, I don't know if Nola's even the better pitcher on the mound because most people don't know Andre Pallante. You take a look again last year, just to fill you in, 509 batters faced here, ISO against 098, fantastic. Weighted on base percentage, 295. Let's go back to this year now. 66 batters he's faced, an overall ISO of 119 and a weighted on base percentage of 250. Lights out against right-handed bats. A little bit of a high ISO versus lefties through those 33 at-bats 233, but a very manageable weighted on base percentage. Doesn't have a lot of K's, so sometimes those numbers could be elevated. But just looking at the, you know, analytical numbers per se, 16 and a third innings pitched for Pallante this year, a 220 ERA, which is great, and an xFIP of 430. Now, when you look at the other side, it's okay, well, home team for the Mets, home cooking is usually good. Griffin Canning is not a great pitcher by any stretch. 15 innings pitched on the season, a 4.20 ERA number, and a 4.12 xFIP number. You take a look at the lineup. I don't love this Cardinals lineup. But this year alone with Griffin Canning, a right-handed pitcher, has really struggled against right-handed batters. But you are going to get a look at a lot of lefties today. Nupar, Donovan, Burleson, Gorman, and Victor Scott anticipated to be in that lineup. But maybe the right-handers can do some damage. And even an oldie but goodies, we like to say, Nolan Arenado, 49 at-bats against right-handed pitching this year, a 222 ISO and a 355 weighted on base percentage, and a K rate that you love to see of under 10%, which means if Nupar, Contreras, and Donovan can be on base, maybe that guy in the middle of the lineup today that can provide an RBI, an extra base hit, or multiple hits, that could be Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, in DRS, when you look at the Cardinals, they started their year with a sweep over the Twins. Then they dropped seven of their next nine, which is kind of what we expected for a Redbirds team that we thought would be mediocre. They've won their last two series against the Phillies and the Astros, most recently this week against Houston. The Mets, meanwhile, after a 2-3 start, had won nine of their next 11, including the series opener against Minnesota this week, to only drop the last two yesterday in extras, as we shared. Andre Pallante's been pretty good for St. Louis. We'll see if the Amazons have the answer. And again, Donnie, as we shared, warmer weather to start this week along the East Coast. Today expected to be about 65 and sunny up in Queens.
Yes, and that is going to help. As the temperatures get out of the 50s, you start to see that sort of change over here. And understand this, it affects pitchers and hitters alike here. They like to play in warmer temperatures. That's what baseball is supposed to be. And I think finally, Ben, after this week, just looking at the extended forecast, as long as we're 65 and above the rest of the way and we get into the 80s and the 90s, we're going to have some fun and you'll see some, wow, that ball really traveled or that pitcher's really in a groove now. We're really close. We are.
Plenty more from this Thursday slate around the big up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On this Thursday around Major League Baseball, as we saw with both of the New York teams, the Yankees down in Tampa, the Mets return home to host the St. Louis Cardinals. It could be the start of an extended weekend set, a four-game series, or on a Thursday, the end of a four-game midweek series. DRS for the Philadelphia Phillies, they're hoping to get out of this midweek series with a split of four games against the San Francisco Giants. The Giants take game one and three, including yesterday. The Phillies won game number two. Tonight, or actually this afternoon in Philadelphia, 4:06 p.m. Eastern time start, minus 174 in favor of the Phils to even the four-game set against the Giants. Total stands at eight. Will Philly do exactly that and come away with a split against SF?
I think there's a good shot they do that. And again, you're looking at the price point there that says the Phillies are supposed to do that. Understand this. You take a look at that lineup for the Phillies. Sometimes so much hit or miss, and it feels like in these cold temperatures, it's more miss than actual hits. They got pounded last night. Bryce Harper sent a deep drive into the night to tie that game up at four after it looked like they were going to get blown out, only to then get blown out in that game because the bullpen got rocked. And that San Francisco Giants lineup that I like a lot in certain instances, they did very well. But let's get back to the game today. Jordan Hicks will be on the mound. Last year, 222 batters he faced from the left-hand side. Weighted on base percentage, 376. Manageable ISO power number and did decent against righties. Let's fast forward to this season. 66 batters he's faced, spent 29 from the left-hand side. He's getting lit there. 250 ISO, weighted on base percentage, 447. Very good, though, against right-handed batters. Let's look at the Phillies lineup as a whole coming into today against right-handed pitching. Makes a lot of sense. Look at the ISO power numbers, 1 through 7. Stott, 175. Turner, 171. Harper, 205. Schwarber, 231. Castellanos, 186. JT Realmuto, 162. And Kepler, 158. All manageable. Everybody with decent weighted on base percentages and low strikeout rates. This is a day that they should be able to jump on Jordan Hicks. 61 degrees, so more of a crosswind, Ben. From left foul pole to right foul pole, not exactly blowing into the right field seats. But if I'm going to take a look at the Phillies winning this game, I think they do. But number two, those shots here from the left-hand side, Bryson Stott's a really good look if he leads off today. Then you take a look at Harper and Schwarber going back-to-back at 3 and 4 is the anticipation in the lineup. I do like that. But we can't leave out San Francisco. The only problem is Christopher Sanchez has been really good for the Phillies last year and this year. You take a look at his ERA, 3.12, xFIP, 3.01, and also the Giants' MO in their lineup. They pound right-handed pitching. Sanchez is a left-handed pitcher. He does have a little bit of elevated numbers at 229 and a weighted on-base percentage of 394. Two right-handed batters this year, which you didn't see last year. In the lineup today, Jung-Hoo Lee, 421 ISO, who is a left-handed batter against lefties, has done very well. Wilmer Flores has a high ISO power number. Luis Matos. Everybody else, though, Ben, has struggled. This should be a Phillies day. They should pick it up at the plate. They should get the lead early, and they should win this game.
DRS, the Phils made an early statement handing the Dodgers their first loss of the year after that historic 8-0 start for LA, winning that weekend set against Los Angeles. But the Phillies in danger if they do get upset at home today inside the bank of dropping their third consecutive series after that series win against LA. Philly will enter dropping six of their last nine, hoping to change that around against a Giants team that is off to a 13-5 start. And look at the National League West, man. The Padres, the best record in baseball, 15-4. The Giants, 13-5. The Dodgers sweeping the Rockies this week, so they're back on track, 14-6. And how about the Arizona Diamondbacks, 11-7. Everybody, at least four games above 500, with the exception of Colorado, who has the worst record of the bigs at 3-15. The D-backs, a day game early today in South Florida against Miami. Arizona looking for the sweep and their fifth consecutive win. Will the D-backs do just that today against the Fish?
Yeah, they're going to do that. And again, a minus 154 price as the road team here. Let's take a look at those Arizona Diamondbacks statistics, which are really good against right-handed pitching. Quite frankly, really good, it seems like, just about everybody. But let's take a look at Edward Cabrera, who's going to be on the mound for the Marlins. A lot of information we got last year, 418 batters. Of those, 211 were from the left-hand side. Elevated weighted on base percentage, elevated ISO power numbers. How does that translate this year? Only 24 batters he's faced, but the MO is the same from last year. Struggling with left-handed batters to the tune of a 333 weighted on base, 333 ISO and a 403 weighted on base percentage. Look at the first four players in that lineup. You want to talk stacks that you like right off the bat? Corbin Carroll, 47 at bats against right-handed pitching this year, a 614 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 594. Perdomo right behind him, 235 and 400. Pavin Smith behind him, 237 and 477. Behind him, Josh Naylor, 262 and 470. This lineup should hit right out of the gate. And also, yeah, the best pitcher on the card today, 16 and two-thirds innings pitched, 272 xFIP number. That's Eduardo Rodriguez, starter for the Arizona Diamondbacks today. They should win going away and complete that sweep.
Great year for Corbin Carroll to start. He has six home runs and 16 RBIs, six ribbies in the first two games against the Marlins. Plenty more around MLB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. 10-game slate around the bigs today. We continue to preview so many of them. DRS, as we head to Arlington, the Rangers trying to make a statement against an Angels team that entered with some good momentum, hoping for a sweep in their midweek set against their divisional foe. Kumar Rocker gets the start tonight, minus 146 price in favor of Texas at home. Total stands at 9.5. There's a couple of nines on the docket today and a bunch of eights and 8.5. DRS, highest total of the night, that's down in Arlington. Will we see some offense as the odds makers expect?
Could be. Didn't get very much offense last night, particularly from Los Angeles' side. Maybe they bounce back today. Kumar Rocker on the mound last year, only 55 batters faced. And again, not really a big imprint or footprint, I should say. This year, how about this? 55 batters faced as well. Struggling, though. 224 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 433. Just look at the lineup that presents today for the Angels. Outside of Luis Rengifo and Tim Anderson, everybody is high ISO power number and high weighted on base percentage. If we take a look at some of Kumar Rocker's numbers coming into this year, only 11 and a third innings pitch, which is low, but an ERA of close to 8 and an xFIP number of 4.79. So it's not pitching as bad as his ERA is, but still not pitching all that well. On the opposite side, I believe I haven't seen the guy live pitch yet. Is it Kochanowicz, I want to say, or is it Kochanowicz? I'm going to go Kochanowicz at this point.
Let me find that for you. Yeah.
Against lefties this year, he is struggling. A 273 ISO and a 336 weighted on base percentage. Low walk rate, but a low K rate, which is usually detrimental. So you want to take a look at some of those left-handed batters in the middle of that lineup. Corey Seager, not a lot of power numbers against right-handed pitchers so far. 108 ISO, but that weighted on base percentage is decent at a 345 and a low K rate and a high walk rate. Also, Josh Smith here at a 194 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 470 can make some sense. The one guy I'd love to take in this lineup is Jock Peterson, but he doesn't have very good numbers against right-handed pitching so far. So you sort of lean with the trust that Rangers lineup will figure it out late tonight. And also still trusting in the early numbers holding up for the Los Angeles Angels going up against Kumar Rocker. We probably should see runs tonight with a couple good instances. From a side perspective, don't love it all that much, though.
Yeah, DRS, you were correct. It is Jack Kochanowicz, a former third-round pick for the Halos back in 2019 out of Philadelphia. The big 6'7". 6'7 pitcher for the Angels tonight on the bump. Jack Kochanowicz gets the start against the Rangers, trying to avoid that sweep for the Angels tonight in Texas. Baltimore and Cleveland inside Camden Yards, the rubber match here of a three-game set, I am pretty sure. Orioles and the Guardians, Tanner Bibee on the bump for Cleveland. They're an ever-so-slight favorite in Baltimore. Total stands at 8.5. What can we expect today between the O's and the Guardians?
By the way, Toscano, like, you're coming in with high expectations this year, right? 14 innings pitched so far, a 3.86 ERA, which isn't bad, but a 5.52 xFIP number. He's actually the worst xFIP pitcher on the card in this early season. And you know me, I love some Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez, and Carlos Santana at the top of that order. Yesterday, Kwan didn't get a base hit, but two base hits by Ramirez and two base hits last night by Carlos Santana. That would be my focus from the side for the Guardians today. If we go back over to Baltimore, knocking the baseball around yesterday for sure. That's the Baltimore Orioles team that we expect throughout the season. And Tanner Bobby is a decent pitcher. Last year struggled with left-handed batters, but not right-handed batters, Ben. This year, 64 batters he's faced in total, struggling with lefties and righties combined. Why? Low K rate, which means they're putting the baseball in play. If we're understanding the lineup coming into today, let's just say it's Henderson, Rutschman, O'Hearn, Westberg, Mullins, and O'Neill. All of those guys with decent numbers, whether it be ISO power numbers or weighted on base percentage. Outside of Gunnar Henderson, who does have a K rate of 38% against right-handed pitching this year through 29 at-bats, low strikeout rates throughout that lineup. I do think we get some runs today for the Baltimore Orioles and the Cleveland Guardians.
Nine runs scored yesterday by the O's, DRS. They needed it. Third game of this set. A rubber match. Baltimore, worst record in the American League East to start at 7-10. Three home runs hit yesterday by the O's as well. Ryan O'Hearn, the DH. Ramon Laureano and the young buck in Jackson Holliday. A grand slam to start the scoring in the home half of the second. Baltimore needs to pick it up. They found some answers yesterday. In the American League Central, a divisional duel. Speaking of picking it up, DRS, Kansas City swept yesterday by the Yanks. The last time the Royals scored five-plus runs, more than four, back on Friday, April 4th, nearly 2 weeks ago. And they are a road dog today against Reese Olson and the Tigers in the Motor City, minus 146 in favor of Detroit. Over under stands at 8. Donnie, we have said this for a few teams, but for a KC team that reached the playoffs a year ago with those same expectations, once again entering 2025, outside of Bobby Witt Jr., everybody else kind of needs to start to carry their own weight. How crucial are these early season games for KC as they start to try to turn it around?
Yeah, not going to get a lot of love either from the weather conditions if Kansas City does want to turn around on offense today. Right around 60 degrees, which isn't bad, but a big ballpark here blowing in about 10 miles an hour from center field. If we do take a look at Reese Olson last year, the Detroit Tigers pitcher, he was really good. 503 batters he's faced, an ISO of 107 and a weighted on base percentage of 284. 67 batters that he's faced throughout this season so far, high weighted on base percentage, 338 to lefties and 359 to righties, but a low ISO power number, which is pretty solid. But as you stated, you take a look at the lineup today. If you're looking at just ISO power numbers, only three batters have positive ISO power numbers against right-handed pitching this year so far. The rest, not so great. And if there's one batter that you probably would take, it's Bobby Witt Jr. But surrounded by Jonathan Indy, who's not getting on base or hitting with power, and the same thing behind him with Vinny Pasquantino's 288 weighted on base percentage, and then Salvador Perez at a 245, it feels like he's just in the middle of that lineup. You could pitch him around him, and sort of nobody can help them out and do damage when he's on first base. But let's take a look at Detroit's lineup. I do like it today. Michael Lorenzen's on the mound. Decent pitcher here. He's a right-handed guy. Left-handed batters, he's done very well against. Right-handed batters is slightly elevated. So you will have your share of left-handed batters in the lineup. Maybe it balances out. But again, last year, Michael Lorenzen, 257 lefties he faced, a 109 ISO and a 252 weighted on base percentage. Sometimes you have to take a look at that leap of faith and how this lineup presents itself. Because the first six batters here, I'm just going to give you the weighted on base percentages, which again, 320 to 325 or higher is above average. 437, 388, 333, 413, 339, and 455 against right-handed pitching this year. And most of those batters, Ben, between 20 to 48 at-bats. So you do have an okay sample size to deal with. I don't know if Kansas City is going to get off the ground today. That minus 144 price, probably worth your while looking at the Detroit Tigers based on that early handicap.
Yeah, the Tigers, who of course were swept in their opening series of the year in LA by the Dodgers, responded winning 10 of their next 13, but dropped their final two of their midweek set in Milwaukee, only scoring one run in those final two games against the Brew Crew on the road. They're back home for the weekend set against their divisional foe in the Royals, who were swept this week in the Bronx. DRS, are three other games of our 10-game slate. Some afternoon baseball, as you would expect on this getaway Thursday. The Pirates looking to win the four-game set against the Nationals, taking three of four. got a little bit heated yesterday. A benches clearing brawl between the Nationals and the Pirates inside PNC. Andrew Heaney gets the start. Bucko's nearly a $1.50 favorite at home. The Athletics and the White Sox someday baseball. The A's looking for a three-game series sweep in Chicago against those White Sox, and they're booked as the road favorite. The Reds at home in the rubber match is a -130 money line favorite against the Seattle Mariners. What do you like today in any of those three spots? The RS, where they focus during the afternoon.
You always like to take a look at the Athletics. They're a fun baseball team. Davis Martin last year had decent statistics. This year is struggling, Ben. 74 batters. He's faced a 185 ISO against and a 358 weighted on base percentage. Do I love a lot of the players in the Athletics lineup tonight? Not necessarily, but against right-handed pitching so far this year, they don't strike out all that much outside of Brent Rooker. Love Lawrence Butler at the top of that lineup, a 388 weighted on base percentage through 60 at-bats against righties. We're starting to build those at-bats here to get a real general picture of how these guys are doing. And then Tyler Soderstrom, 481 ISO, 527 weighted on base percentage. And again, we're not talking about, oh, through the first 11 at-bats he's had against right-handed pitching. He's now up to 60. Those are two guys that look to do some damage. But if we look at the Chicago White Sox, there's not a lot to like in this lineup. Sears isn't even a great pitcher. That lineup stinks against right-handed pitching, left-handed pitching, home and away. Make it make sense? You really can't. So the A's, probably some prop bets, probably your best side today.
Prop perspective on this Thursday with TV Tom up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The prop perspective on this Thursday with TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid here on the early line. I am Ben. Donnie is on the right side. Vecchio here in the middle for our next two segments. Although in our next segment, it will be Vecchio and I rounding out the show with a look at the Stanley Cup postseason, now set as of Wednesday night, with the Montreal Canadiens taking the final spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here, not for one, but two segments on this Thursday.
Of course, thanks for having me. I love the fact that we're doing basketball. I know Donnie wants to go over it again and again, and we'll be doing NHL when he's not here. We can get into some baseball. Let's get to it.
It will have a little bit of everything, Vecchio. You are the jack of all trades. Let's start with where things stand in the play-in tournament within the NBA postseason. Of course, last night, the two road teams, the Heat and the Mavericks, winning outright as an underdog to stave off elimination and force a game on Friday in Memphis between the Mavericks and the Grizzlies, and in Atlanta between the Hawks and the Heat. Let's start with the nightcap tomorrow in the Grind City. The Grizz and the Mavs, a 6.5-point spread in favor of Memphis, a total that currently stands at 222. It's early, Vecchio, but the props are already out for our play-in tourney games, hoping to become the 8 seed tomorrow night. What's your look for the nightcap in Memphis between the Grizzlies and Mavericks?
Well, when I was here on Monday, I said that I'd be willing to take the points and take the under in every single game. And so far, taking the points, 3 out of 4 of those have cashed. You know, expect these to be closer games. It's ultimately, it's a coin flip. Like, these teams are essentially the same for the most part. I'm not expecting this game to be a runaway. And it's even both of these games, I should say, whether it's Dallas and Memphis, whether it's the Heat and the Hawks. I'm not expecting either of these games to be a runaway. But for this game specifically, I want to look to Jaren Jackson under 19.5 points. And a lot of people are going to be pointing back to January. You're going to see, oh, Jaren Jackson scored 35 against Dallas. But we got to remember that John Morant didn't play that game. Like, these teams are dramatically different compared to where they were a few months ago. So we can't cherry pick one game log and be like, oh, Jaren Jackson is averaging over 20 points per game versus Dallas. He has plenty of success against them. Let's just hammer that over. If I'm signing on the under on all of these games, I'm going to be signing on player prop unders as well. And that goes to Jaren Jackson. I just think he's going to have a bit of a tough time. We didn't see Sabonis have a big game last night. We saw the shooters for the Kings have big games. We didn't see the big men for the Kings. And I expect someone of the same thing from Memphis.
And how about game number one, as we looked at there on Friday? It's the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks. A -1 point favorite here for the Atlanta Hawks. The question comes up is, what have you done for me lately? Boy, the Heat really played well in their last playing game. The Atlanta Hawks, not so much. So I'll leave you with this, Tom, as we head towards your props. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero to the end of the night. Now, does that play into your plan? Or does that help you make a pick?
It does. I mean, Tyler Herro was awesome in that first playing game. I expect him to do most of the scoring as usual for Miami. I will say, I do like him under 10.5 rebounds plus assists. Again, not a game with a super high total. I'm not expecting him to be out there doing that. The scoring will come for him. I think the most interesting aspect of this game is obviously Trae Young, right? Getting ejected. He was off to 28 points before he got ejected. I see him coming out on fire. Like, they have to make a statement. Now, granted, I always say this, and I've said before, like, to what end? Like, these teams are not getting past the first round. Let's just call it what it is. So get in while you can on these props. Cash some overs on a Trae Young first quarter prop, maybe. He has to come out with some vengeance, but ultimately they're not going past the first round.
The outlook for the winners tomorrow night, probably not great against either OKC out west or the Cleveland Cavaliers out east, but we still have one more game with stakes to bet on. That's always a cool thing. Tyler Herro, by the way, 38 points last night. Of course, a game best in Chicago. He was a perfect 8 of 8 from the field and 3 of 3 from deep in that opening half. All right, Vecchio, let's talk a 10-game slate around Major League Baseball. Always a pleasure for me to be joined by the two hosts of Pro Baseball today. 10 a.m. Eastern time each and every Sunday. Vecchio, 10-game slate. Let's start inside Citi Field. The Mets back home after dropping the final two games of their midweek set against the Minnesota Twins. They host the St. Louis Cardinals. How do you approach the opener of a 4-game extended weekend set for the Mets and the Redbirds?
I like the Mets to come away with the win, and we got decent weather. We got some wind blowing out to right. Should be a nice hitting environment. I really am just, I have no confidence in Andre Pallente on the Cardinals to do anything against the Mets. He is just the most middle of the road pitcher you could possibly find. He has a sub 20% strikeout rate. Does he allow a lot of fly balls? No. Does he allow a lot of hard contact? No, but he can get hit around a lot. He's going to have those walks pile up. And I like the Mets offense that has an implied run total just south of fourth. I think they'll push up throughout the rest of the day. So let's go to the normal double RBI play. One from Pete Alonso at +140. The other one from Brandon Nimmo at +175. Pete Alonso is obviously unbelievable right now. He has above a 200 WRC plus versus both lefties and righties. Nimmo, although his average isn't good, we're not really talking about averages. ISO is still over 200 versus right-handed pitching. And then ultimately, once Pallante is out of the game, Cardinals relievers, they have a 4.19 xFIP overall, just relievers in general, which is the ninth worst in the league. And I just don't expect this as a spot that the Mets offense is going to be shut down.
Now, here's the real question that we want to know, Tom, on your card today, though. It's Kansas City and it's Detroit today. Michael Lorenzen's on the mound. You're going up against a Detroit team that absolutely can hammer right-handed pitching. It's a lefty in the middle of that lineup. His name's Riley Green. He's been known to let people down, but will you jump right back on that Riley Green train today? That's what we want to know.
I think I have to ultimately just because the matchup is so good. Again, Lorenzen is a pitcher that, again, I'm not worried about. Donnie, you know him from Philly. He can throw a lot of ground balls. Yep. He won't streak out a ton of hitters. He can get hit around.
Chasing him right now.
Right. The issues will be there overall. But if you give me a stack of the 1+1+1 with, I don't want to say, who is it? Zach McKinstry. He's still batting over 300. Riley Green. We turned to Kerry Carpenter. We got some power in that lineup. They're in a good spot today.
What is happening out there? We had some police sirens swirling around. A lot of activity.
Rebecca's gonna turn that light off behind them, man. Get down. Don't let them see you back there, Tom. Come on.
I love the jokes, the inside jokes that you guys are starting to build as the co-hosts of Pro Baseball Today together. DRS, as we send you off into the money line, Vecchio and I will break down the Stanley Cup postseason on the other side of the break. Do you want to share with him your pronunciation of the team that clinched the final spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs last night?
Las Habitantes. Come on now. Get on beautiful. That bandwagon. I know Gabe's on that bandwagon. Who else is getting on Montreal's bandwagon? Come on.
Yeah, look at that. Montreal. Montreal. It's more like a U than Montreal. An O. Montreal. Anyway, DRS will see you tomorrow. Vecchio and I round up the show next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Regular season finale Thursday around the National Hockey League, but as of last night, with the Habs, the Montreal Canadiens taking the final spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs, our Stanley Cup playoff bracket for 2025 is now set. TV Tom Vecchio here for a second consecutive segment to take a look at the end of the NHL regular season and get ready for one of the best postseasons in all of sports. That would be the Stanley Cup playoffs. Vecchio, of course, as a regular season closes, it's not just the playoffs format, but those award races that we love. In the NHL, the MVP, known as the Hart Trophy. Who do you have winning the Hart this year in the National Hockey League?
So we've talked about this throughout the season. I've mentioned the storyline that would be great to see Hellebuck win. Obviously, the first goalie since Carey Price in 2014-2015. When it comes to the other players, the same discussion that we've had over the past few seasons would be true this year. Draisaitl, MacKinnon, Kucherov, maybe McDavid, and then we're splitting hairs. And I've, as I said before about MacKinnon, he's a center. He wins faceoffs. Same thing with Draisaitl. But, you know, we really can't hold that against Kucherov not doing something that's not in his role. Then we're looking at isolated points. We look at points in terms of even strength versus power play. They're just piling up points on the power play when it's obviously easier to score. There's so much minutia between this, but Hellebuck was awesome this season. He ended the season leading the NHL. This is per stat leads. In goals saved above expected, he also led the NHL in wins, goals against average, save percentage, and shutouts. This is akin to a pitcher in MLB winning the Triple Crown, you know, Cy Young wins, ERA, strikeouts, et cetera, et cetera. This is what he has done. He's also the first goaltender in NHL history to be the sole winner of the William Jennings Trophy, which is the fewest goals allowed overall, minimum 25 starts. He's above 60. This is honestly a historic thing, the first goaltender to do it in over a decade or just at a decade. So I believe he should win. And I don't want to say there's voter fatigue with the MacKinnon, a Draisaitl, Kucherov, but this is really where we are in the NHL. He was unbelievable this year. They won the President's Trophy. They checked off every single box that you could possibly want.
Yeah, Winnipeg Jets, the best record in the National Hockey League, President's Trophy. We'll talk about the President's Trophy's curse in just a little bit, but minus 120 right now for Connor Hellebuck as that Hart Trophy favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook, ever so slightly in front of Leon Draisaitl, of course, for the Edmonton Oilers at a plus 110 price. Give it to the netminder who stood on his head for Team USA in Connor Hellebuck. All right, Vecchio, best record in the NHL, as you mentioned, Winnipeg at 116 points. Best record in the Eastern Conference, Washington Capitals, 111 points in the historic season for Alexander Ovechkin. But neither of those two teams will enter the Stanley Cup playoffs as the Stanley Cup favorite. In fact, both with a plus 950 price, tied for around that fifth best number. How do you evaluate the Stanley Cup odds as we get ready for the marathon that is a sprint, the Stanley Cup postseason?
To me, seeing Carolina up there is shocking. I really don't believe they should be up there. Now, we can make arguments against the Caps. We can make arguments against the Leafs, who have home ice at least through the first two rounds if they advance that far. You know, we could say that the Tampa Bay Lightning didn't end the season that strong. But to see Carolina as the favorite is, I think, downright wrong. I really still like the Lightning, and I still like the Jets. I think there's a reason to buy into the Stars, despite the fact they ended the regular season on a seven-game losing streak, and they looked absolutely terrible. As someone that has a future on them at 7-1, I'm not thrilled with the way they ended the season, but I still think there's value. It obviously comes down to that first-round matchup against the Habs, which is going to be an absolute war. The fact that one of those teams has to be eliminated in the first round is just an indictment that the playoff format is bad. It shouldn't be in the divisions. It should be 1-8. That's a completely different story, but it still lies with the Lightning as one of the best options out there.
Of course, when you look at the Maple Leafs, they have only won one playoff series in their last eight playoff appearances. Vecchio, quickly, you're still buying into the Jets at plus 950, despite the President's Trophy curse. How much does that factor into your handicap?
Absolutely none. We spoke about the Jets back in December when the Jets were at 20-1, which is a ticket where I have them. Here's the thing with the President's Trophy. Do we want to buy into it? Or last year when the Rangers lost in the conference finals, did they lose because of the curse, or did they lose because they went up against a really good Panthers team that had gone to back-to-back Stanley Cups? Like, we can find an argument for anything. Is it the curse, or is it just circumstantial, or is it just because the Stanley Cup playoffs are insanely tough to win at any point, let alone, you know, because you're the best team overall? So give me the Jets to win. And I love the fact that it'll be the Jets bringing the cup back to Canada, and it won't be the Leafs and it won't be the Oilers. It'll be the smallest fan base that Canada has.
led by Connor Hellebuyck if that does in fact happen. Last Canadian Stanley Cup, 1993, over three decades ago. Tom Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time here on this Thursday. As for us on DEL, that does it for us on a Thursday as well. Show returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern on a Friday.